I want to read another scripture as well that goes along with that from Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 2, verse 1 and 2. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea as the Lord spoke to me. And we compassed Mount Seir for many days. The Lord spoke to me saying, you have compassed the mountain long enough, turn northward. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you want to do something in our lives here today, which is good. That your word brings life. Your word brings hope. Your word brings healing. So, Father, I ask that with your word today, your servant, you would speak into the deep recesses of our hearts. The word would come like a two-edged sword and get to the places of resistance, hardness, unbelief, fear, doubt, that you want to heal today, Lord. Lord, you're a wonderful Jesus. You want to take us further. You want to take us deeper in you. You want to do miracles. You want to give everyone a testimony. Have your way. And all the people said, amen, amen. I want to speak about, because I know God is speaking about entering the promised land. And in the Old Testament, the Promised Land was a physical destination that God took the Israelites into after being delivered from Egypt and Pharaoh, season in the wilderness. Then they entered this season, this different season, different to anything they'd ever experienced. And when they entered the Promised Land, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, rather than slavery and bricks. And for a New Testament Christian, it's important to understand the promised land is a place, it's not a physical destination, it's a spiritual destination where we actually inherit the promises that God has made to us. They're no longer promises, but we actually inherit them. We inherit the full promise is Christ himself and all his life and all his fullness formed in us. It is his peace. It is his purpose. It is his provision. It is his power in our lives. And God wants each Christian to enter that dimension where Christ is formed in you, the hope of glory. And to enter into that dimension will always require faith. Just before you enter into that dimension, there'll always be a giant. God, the enemy will stop you moving into that dimension, into what God has promised you, to inherit that promise. But when we have faith, this is why we need faith to inherit the promise. When we believe God, believe his word, giants just fall. We believe God's promise rather than what we see, rather than the circumstance. But we believe God's word is the final say, that every giant will be temporary, and we keep walking with God, keep believing that his word is the final say, that doors open, giants fall, and God's promises manifest. That's what God wants. He doesn't want a people who, like the Israelites, when they see circumstances and giants, they respond with anxiety and fear, and they turn back into the ways of the world. God wants us to keep moving on with him because he's got a wonderful plan and purpose for every single believer, and you've got to believe it. Until faith comes in, there'll be no victory. I read the passage today. Moses said, the Lord spoke to me saying, you have compassed the mountain long enough, turn northwards. I believe in the Spirit, there's a prophetic word for God's people today, that God wants to take us forward. When God said to them, you've skirted the mountain long enough in the wilderness, he's saying, now is the season where I'm going to take you into the promised land, because northwards was moving up from what we now know in Saudi Arabia into their destiny, into the promised land. And I believe God's saying for his people today, some of the things that God's prepared for you, some of the words God has spoken to you over the years, some of the ministries he's prepared for you, some of the promises he's made to you and your family. Now is the time to believe God is going to perform and perfect his word in your life. Now is the time God is going to open that door. Now is the time where God wants to move his church into a place where it is full of the life of Christ, also powerful to overcome. I love my sister's testimony about healing from the Philippines. God wants a church full with his power. He wants to see, wants a church testifying of God's power in your life, God destroying giants, God opening doors, God's bringing you through when no one else could. His power being not a theory but a real thing in your life, healing your marriage, healing your children, bringing your child, that the power of God is real for us. And he wants to bring us into that dimension now. And I believe he's saying that he wants us to move forward to no longer compass this mountain. I praise God. He has a destiny for us. And you know what the devil wants to do to stop you moving into your destiny? One of the devil's great tools is the tool of delay. The devil tried to delay Moses at the Red Sea. Just keep him praying instead of using the authority that he'd been given. The devil wants to delay you, and he wants to keep you, instead of moving forward with God, he wants to keep you in religious activity but going around a mountain for years where everything's the same. You're going round and round and round and round, and God knows our tendency to fall into patterns. Those patterns where we are walking and serving God, but without expectation, without vision, without purpose, without his power, without passion. God knows we have a tendency to fall into those places, and it's a danger, because when that happens, we end up with what the Bible calls a form of religion, but denying its power. A form of religion, but without any reality or without any relationship with God, real relationship with God. We're just doing religion. And the Bible says in the end times, people have a form of godliness, but denying its power. The devil wants to delay you. Devil wants to stop you going forward. And you know how he does that? He convinces God's people to slowly make allowances for the affections and the attitudes in our lifestyle of our flesh. He convinces us to make allowances for the flesh in our attitudes, our affections. Persuades us to tolerate fleshly attitudes, and we continue on. This is what keeps us going around the mountain. We continue going on as if those things have been dealt with. We tell ourselves those things have been dealt with, that we're Christians, that we belong to Christ. But we've actually allowed things, fleshly attitudes, to come in. They're there. But we continue on. We continue walking as if those things have been dealt with. And that is why the Hebrews spent 40 years on what should have been an 11-day journey. They continued. Instead of being fully submitted to God and his power, they were content with the form of godliness. But they complained. And they grumbled, and they moaned, and they refused to believe, and they moved in fear and anxiety their whole life instead of truly submitting themselves fully to God. That's what kept them 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And as a Christian, you can wander in the wilderness a lot longer than God plans for your life. I got my wife to read out Joshua chapter 5 because Before God brings the people into the promise of their destiny, before everything changes, he does two things. He says, stop going around the mountain, turn northwards. You've got to stop going around the mountain. And secondly, he brings them to a place called Gilgal. And Gilgal is very significant. We've got to understand it for the Christian life, because at Gilgal, God, the word Gilgal means rolled. God rolled this stuff off their life. All the stuff they'd brought out of Egypt, all the rejection, all the feelings of inadequacy, because they were always told they were nothing, all the slave mentality, all the rubbish the enemy and Pharaoh represents the devil, put on their life. God just rolled it off their life, and they were then equipped to go in by faith and take what God had promised them. Now, they were equipped for victory because God did a work that no man could do. He rolled the reproach of Egypt off their life. But before God's power was experienced, before God did his work, they had to do something. Before God rolled away the reproach off their life, before God rolls away the abuse, the rejections, they had to do something. And the Word of God says that what they had to do, because they walked in disobedience in the desert, they had to take flint knives and circumcise every male. I shudder just thinking about it. No anesthetic. Flint lives, cutting away the flesh. What that flint life represents, what the symbol of for us is the flint knife is the Word of God, which we're told is sharper than a two-edged sword. And before God did his bit and released his power, they had to take the Word of God and apply it to the flesh. And it took a number of days till they were healed. Then God rolled away the reproach. Then they went in and inherited what God had promised them. There is a knife involved. That is the Word of God. There is flesh involved. And there is a mountain. I want to tell you, the mountain and the flesh are deep linked. What keeps you walking around the mountain are the works of the flesh. The cross isn't just for sin, but the cross is to deal with our flesh. And the way the enemy delays us is through works of the flesh. What are the works of the flesh? The works of the flesh are habits. They are attitudes. Maybe a critical spirit. Maybe it's gossiping. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's overeating. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's self-righteous. Maybe it's prejudging other people. All these attitudes which are ungodly. Works of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Fleshly. Maybe you lose your temper. That's the flesh. Maybe you're angry. That's the flesh. Maybe you experience rejection all the time. That is the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh and the mountain are related, because the works of the flesh are what keeps you going around the mountain. And people can go around the mountain for years because they refuse to deal with the works of the flesh. They refuse to acknowledge the works of the flesh. And the danger is, what happens when you're in a work of the flesh? Every time you experience certain conditions, this is what works of the flesh, this is what going around the mountains is. That every time you experience a certain condition, your flesh manifests. Every time you get tested, every time pressure comes on the life, you get angry, or you get judgmental, you get unforgiving, or lust keeps coming up under certain conditions. Hatred, or overeating, all these things are works of the flesh. And many Christians, the reason they can't go forward, they get in this cycle, is that they get pressure on their life, they get tested. The flesh rises up. We get critical, judgmental, self-righteous, angry. And then we feel guilty because the Holy Spirit convicts us. And we repent. Then we feel better until pressure comes again and the cycle starts again. And we go around the mountain. And we go around the mountain. And we keep traversing around the mountain. We don't go forward because we're in this cycle. The danger of that, the real danger of that, is we've never dealt with the issue, is people can be in that cycle and they mistake religious activity for maturity and growth and progress. Oh, but we're busy. We're busy in the works of God. That's activity. We're really going around the mountain. We continue with our religious activity as if there is no problem. This is what God is saying today. God is actually saying it's time for God's people to move forward. What's going to make you move forward? I want to tell you, instead of reacting when pressure comes, God says there's time, there's a season changing, when instead of responding to those pressures in a fleshly way, there's a new time to allow the flint knife to have its way with your flesh, to have the Word of God deal with the attitudes and the actions of the flesh. When the Word of God has dealt with the attitudes and the actions of the flesh, then God's people will inherit the promises that God has made to us. I believe God is saying that we have compassed the mountain long enough. There is a season of the Spirit being released where God wants you to, God wants the, instead of you react anymore, God wants the Word of God to have its way in your life. So if you're someone who always responds in a certain way when life comes and you're being pressured and you respond with rejection, instead of that, you take the Word of God to rejection. You say, today I'm accepted in the Beloved and I no longer am going to respond, but I'm going to believe God's Word. And if I've got an issue with anger and exploding when I'm under pressure, I'm going to say, I'm not going to have that anymore. The Word of God says, be angry, but do not sin. I am going to allow the Word of God to reign in my life. And you know what happens when you take that attitude? There's two things involved when we deal with the words of the flesh. Ephesians 5:24 says this, those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. There has to be a dying. There has to be a dying before there is the power. The cross always comes before the tomb. And there has to be crucifying, a desire to crucify that thing, a desire to crucify my anger, a desire to crucify my overeating, a desire to crucify my lust. There has to be a dying to that thing and taking to that fleshly attitude with the Word of God and decreeing that shall no longer reign in my life. Today I'm dealing with it through the Word of God and through the cross. I'm dying with it and it's done. And today the Word of God will manifest in my life instead of my fleshly attitudes. God is really calling his people to move forward into great victory. But I want to tell you, God is very, very serious about the attitudes of his people. God doesn't want us to make agreement with anger. God doesn't want us to make agreement when we lack self-control. God doesn't want us to make agreement with lust and to continue to go around that mountain, continue to go around, walk in circles, continue to fool ourselves that we're actually growing, but we're just doing activity. God actually wants us to really grow. God actually wants us to move into the fullness of Christ's nature. He wants us to move into the fullness of Christ's purpose. He wants us to move into the fullness of Christ's power. He wants us to turn northward And even I've had to see it in my own life, been identifying. All of us have got flesh, things of the flesh, and it's time to crucify them. We've made agreements and tolerated things. And the enemy's even convinced us that we have to tolerate them. I want to tell you, God says to me, there's a deliverance in the house today. There is a time to crucify them. There's a time that every attitude is going to be submitted to the Word of God. There's a time for that flinty knife, the two-edged sword, to come and do its work and to destroy every carnal, every self-centered, every lustful, every judgmental thing, every attitude of the flesh which is not of God. God wants to cut it away from our lives so that only when it's cut away when the fullness of Christ come forward. Can the victory come forward from the promised land, that what God has promised in our life, the fullness of Christ's purpose and his power and his prosperity and his peace can come forward when the works of the flesh are dealt with. So God is saying to us today, you have circled the mountain. You've compassed the mountain long enough. Don't compass it for 40 years. God has got a plan. God has got a wonderful purpose for you. But he wants the Word of God. He wants the Word of God to do its work. This is not a soft, easy, encouraging word. But this is what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today. This is a season of, I believe, extraordinary victory. God is raising up a church that's going to be so pure, so powerful, so full of light, because the world's going to get darker and darker. A church that is actually over to overcome, take a nation, take a land, like the promised land, like Joshua was able to take a land for Christ. But before he does that, he's saying, I want to cut away attitudes, affections, mindsets, habits, gossip, critical spirits, losing my temper. I don't want a people who respond in fleshly ways anymore. I want the Word of God to have its way. I want to have its way in your life. I know God wants to do a work here today, this morning. I know he wants to cut things away, to roll away the approach, bring you into that place where his power produces a victory, and bring a season of real progress and real growth where we can say, I know I'm different. I know I'm changing. I'm experiencing his power. I know he has a purpose for me. I'm discovering it. I'm experiencing his prosperity. I'm actually starting to walk into something of God I've never walked into before. I know it. God wants me to take me higher. He wants to take me in a new dimension of the things of the Spirit. He doesn't want me circling this mountain anymore. Those of us in Christ have crucified the lust of the flesh. Let's stand. I want to stand. Let's stand. Oh, Lord. Lord, you are the God of Isaac. You are the God of Abraham, Jacob. You are the God of Joshua, who, Lord, though he had a season in the wilderness, though he was taught and he was developed in the wilderness, Lord, that was not his destiny. And Father, I'm asking today that everything that keeps us, every attitude of the flesh, every work of the flesh that keeps us moving forward today, Holy Spirit, you would bring rivers of conviction that thing is. Holy Spirit, you would show us the things that are making us go round in circles. Holy Spirit, don't let us be deceived. And Lord, Lord, fail to identify that religious activity is not growth.